Thanks, Doug. And thanks to the Charity and Security Network for having me here today. I'd like to start by commending the authors of this report for an excellent review of counterterror measures around the world and their impacts on civil society. I represent Interaction, which is the largest coalition of U.S.-based humanitarian and development NGOs. We have 175 members working in every developing country in the world. I'm here today to talk about a particular case study, the Partner Vetting System. It's a proposed system by USAID. It's also called the PVS. The PVS was first proposed by USAID back in July 2007, and it would require U.S. NGOs to turn over the names and personal private information of their staffs and subgrantees to the U.S. government for screening against a classified list of suspected terrorists maintained by the FBI's Terrorist Screening Center. We find this problematic for a lot of reasons, but since we only have a few minutes here today, I'll give you just a few of those reasons. First, as Rob said, U.S. NGOs are as concerned as the U.S. government in ensuring that no funds are diverted to terrorist organizations, let alone taxpayer funds. And we already have systems in place to prevent those diversions and other kinds of misappropriations of funds. And until now, USAID has failed to demonstrate that those systems are insufficient. A lot of the case for the partner vetting system rested on a July 2007 Washington Times article about some incidents in West Bank and Gaza that were later demonstrated to have been by the USAID Inspector General to that those people who were implicated in the article would have passed screening anyway. So again, USAID has failed to demonstrate that there's a sufficient cause to implement the PVS. Second, we don't see that the partner vetting system is likely to be effective in actually preventing terrorism or finding terrorists. It would require NGOs to screen their boards of directors, which include prominent citizens like John McCain and Secretary Madeleine Albright, as well as key officers like their CEOs, CFOs, and chiefs of party. And senior USAID officials have even admitted publicly that they're not likely to uncover any terrorists by screening that kind of person, that the likely terrorist is going to be the truck driver or something like that, and that's not the kind of person who's going to be screened by the PVS. So, and it's almost silly to think that an FBI analyst here in the United States sitting at a computer looking at a list is going to be more effective in screening a potential employee than an NGO would be that has years of experience working in a particular community. Furthermore, USAID has failed to address our due process concerns that are brought up by the PVS. Because it's a classified list, USAID has said that they will neither be able to confirm nor deny whether a particular person was on the list. So if you submitted 10 names to USAID as part of the screening process, all you'd get back was a letter saying that your funding application had been denied for national security reasons. So they would basically be telling you that you have a suspected terrorist on your staff, but not who it was. And so, you know, that's obviously creates a problem. And since you wouldn't know, and that person would never have the opportunity to try to get delisted because they wouldn't know that they were on the list in the first place. And finally, relating to a point Rob made earlier, the partner vetting system would create the impression that U.S. NGOs are collecting information on behalf of the American law enforcement and intelligence agencies. And for the reasons he mentioned, that's quite problematic. First, it would prevent NGOs from partnering with local communities in the way that they have before, and building real relationships on the ground overseas, because there's going to be what USAID has even called a chilling effect, where local NGOs turn away from the U.S. government. I think one of the themes raised in the paper the report is a battle of ideas that we're having, and if organizations are turning away from the United States, it raises the question of who are they going to be turning to. And so that's one of our key concerns. The other was the one Rob mentioned, that that implementing the PVS, by creating that impression that we're collecting information on behalf of the intelligence community, it's going to put our NGO staff at risk. That they're already at risk of violence, and that risk will only increase. And it's not an empty threat. Many of you are probably aware that one of Interaction's members had a staff person killed last fall in Pakistan because there was a perception that his program was too closely linked to U.S. counterterrorism objectives in the region. So to relate all this back to the report and the good and bad and the ugly paradigm, the report states that judgments about particular policies should be based on the degree to which they contribute to genuine security and democratic governance while also upholding the rule of law and protecting the work of those striving to defend human rights, promote development, and resolve conflict. And by that measure, Interaction would say that the partner vetting system is a is a poorly designed counterterror policy and would probably fit in the bad category. A, because it would neither actually contribute to security, and B, because it would not protect the work of those striving to promote human rights or defend development. So I guess if there's one bottom line takeaway of the partner vetting system, it's that it won't work, and therefore, and it will undermine U.S. development and humanitarian programs. So if it won't work, and it'll contradict what we're trying to do, then why have it in the first place? We feel like it will cripple humanitarian and development programs overseas, and those are the kind of programs that address the root causes of violence and extremism that this counterterrorism policy is supposed to get at in the first place. And I don't think it's a trade-off that the U.S. can afford. I guess I'd like to close by mentioning a quote from President Obama's inaugural address, where he said, "In matters of our national defense, we reject as false the choice between our security and our safety and our ideals." And it's a view of interaction that humanitarian and development programs represent the best of American ideals, which is the willingness to lend a helping hand to those who are most in need. And applying something like the partner vetting system would be sacrificing that ideals to an ineffective and draconian policy, which I don't think we can afford.
Thank you, Evan. The president also said that when dealing with terrorism, we must be smart, tough, and strategic. And our politics and our policies should not be driven by fear. And in fact, that's one of the challenges, that the person who frames the question drives the answer. And the question is simply, what can we do to ensure that not a single dollar of taxpayer money ends up in the hands of terrorists? We end up with excesses, such as the partner vetting system. But when one looks at sectoral equity, you note that we don't have the same rules for other sectors. We didn't ask the head of AIG, the banks, or the automakers to submit their social security numbers or others to ensure that not a single dollar of taxpayer money flowed into the hands of terrorists, even though we do have a domestic terrorist problem. And Timothy McVeigh, for example, had a link to the auto industry. His father was an auto worker.
And if I could just piggyback on that point, the partner vetting system, I didn't mention it. As it was promulgated in the Federal Register, only applies to nonprofit NGOs and grants and cooperative agreements, and does not apply to contracts. So therefore, it doesn't apply to the many contractors who do very good development work, but who implement about half of all U.S. development and humanitarian assistance. So what we have is a system that would only apply to half of the entire pot of money, and therefore, how can it be effective at all if in fact, if they truly believe it would be effective?